This episode is brought to you by Lark Media. Did you ever feel like you had a message that the whole world absolutely needed to hear? You take it, you package it, you bundle it, you send it out there, and then boom, no response. Well, if that's you, don't be disappointed. It might not be that your message is bad. It might be that you're not delivering it the right way. And this is where our friends over at Lark Media can help. These guys are masters of marketing. They've done things for advanced training where they've come in. They've taken documentaries of our work, and they not only captured what it looks like, but they captured what it feels like to be a part of what we do. They've also made motion graphics that we use before and after our YouTube videos. If you need help, please contact Steve at larkmedianyc.com. Again, that's Steve at Lark, L-A-R-K, Media, NYC.com. Tell them that Advanced Trading sent you, and they'll take 10% off. Welcome to another episode of 6 Minute Monday, where I give you six tips and tricks to make you more efficient and effective in the weight room, the boardroom, and on a football field. And I'm going to give a recap of what happened at this weekend's Tag Team Challenge. So tip number one, it is an exercise tip. This tip is to not exceed your training max week after week after week. So what does that mean? What it means is, let's just say that my training max on a trap bar deadlift is 380 pounds. So I can do 380 pounds by three reps, and that is my training max. It's not my absolute max. I'm not on test day. It's what I'm working out with without injuring myself or completely wiping myself out. What I'm going to do is I'm going to spend a couple of weeks getting up to that 380-pound mark. Maybe 1 week I get to 365, then 370, then 375, then 380. When I hit that new training max, even if I feel good, even if I feel great, the following week, I am not going to go to 385. No, I'm going to bump it back down a little bit. So say I started on 360. The following phase, I'm going to start on 365, then 370, then 375, then 380, and then hit a new training max of 385. And then I'm not going to go to 390. No, I'm going to bump it back down a little bit. Maybe it's 370, then 375. Why am I doing this? Am I stealing my own gains? The answer is no. The reason I want to do this is so that I do not let my muscles outpace my ligaments. Your muscles are going to heal and recover and grow at a faster rate than your ligaments are going to heal and recover and be able to withstand that new weight. So the trick here is to hit your training max and then roll it down a little bit, then build up again, hit a new training max, then roll it down a little bit. It may take some time, but you're going to get there healthy. You're going to get there actually faster than you think you would, because you're not going to burn out. And you're really playing the long game here. You're playing the long game. Okay, tip number two, something I'm experimenting with, has to do with my Boncharge infrared sauna blanket. I'll say that again, my Boncharge infrared sauna blanket. So what am I experimenting with? Well, I told you last week that I'm using it. What I'm experimenting with now is how I'm laying inside of it. So I'm laying inside of it on my side as opposed to on my back. It is way more comfortable, and I heat up much more easily, and I don't have to spend as much time in that sauna trying to warm up. Now, having said that, Boncharge is now an official sponsor of the Advanced Training Podcast. This is not an official advertisement, but I'm doing it here anyway. If you put the code in, Mahoney, M-A-H-O-N-E-Y, you will get 15% of any item that they have. So look up Boncharge, B-O-N, charge. I'm going to tell you right now, this stuff is not cheap, but you get what you pay for. If you go on Amazon and buy a $150 sauna blanket, there's no guarantees that this thing is not going to leak through. There's no guarantees that it's waterproof. There's no guarantees that it's electrically safe. I don't know. I'm not saying anything bad against Amazon. I'm just saying that I don't know what you're going to get. I'm not what you're selecting on. There's no guarantees that it's going to be as durable. I'm just saying, compared to what you would get from Boncharge, this thing I'm seeing is super durable. Seems like the safety features involved. Easy to clean. Absolutely waterproof. Extremely effective. I think you get what you pay for. You can shop around. I'm just giving you my recommendation, what I'm using for me. It's working extremely well. I'm 2 weeks in. I love it. And not to mention the fact that I've PR'd 2 weeks in a row on my sprint times, on my high-end miles per hour. My miles per hour has peaked out 2 weeks in a row, and this is at the ripe age of 46. Shouldn't be PR'ing on your sprints at 46. About Joe Marichko? Not yet. I'm creeping up on him, though. Okay, tip number three. By the way, how do you find this thing? You Google Boncharge. I have a link. It's actually be in the show notes at the end. You can click on that link. It takes you right to my affiliate page, but you should also put in Mahoney as the discount code. Okay, tip number three, a quote that I am thinking about. Anger is like holding a hot coal and waiting to throw it at someone else. I'll say it again. Anger is like holding a hot coal and waiting to throw it at someone else. Tip number four, something that I am creating that's moving me. Not even watching or listening to, and maybe this sounds a little egotistical, but I am creating or putting the finishing touches on a mastermind class on leadership. We're rolling it out next week. I think we got about 24, 25 guys signed up for it already. And I'm just pumped up because as I'm looking at it, not only is it motivating me, it is going to help motivate and inspire the people that are in this session. So this is not a shameless plug. I'm just saying I did it, and I'm just actually walking around super pumped up about it. I cannot wait. I am excited to get this thing started up. Okay, tip number five, a productivity tip. And I actually heard this at a leadership conference I was at last week. I'm going to give you the productivity tip. You do a little bit. Sorry, I ruined that. I'll say it again. You learn a little bit, you do a little bit. You learn a little bit, you do a little bit. You learn a little bit, you do a little bit. And what does that mean? It means that there's people, a lot of people out there, who just go and they listen and they read and they research, but they don't take action. And they're just learning and learning and learning, but they're not doing anything. And then 5 years later, they're still standing in the same exact spot they were 5 years before. So what we want to do, this is kind of how we do things around here, is you learn a little bit and then you do a little bit. You learn a little bit, then you do a little bit. You learn a little bit and then you do a little bit. Because sometimes if you learn too much, you end up getting what they call paralysis analysis. You don't do anything because you have too much information in your head. Okay, tip number six, the craziest thing that I saw all week. Owl Howl, it always delivers. It delivers every single time. I was actually sprinting there this morning. I'm sorry, I shouldn't call it sprinting. I want to freak out the guys. That's for me. I was doing a prehab session there this morning. And I'm thinking, I got nothing. I got nothing for the craziest thing I saw all week. But here it is. I look over to my right, and there's a guy sprinting, looking like Forrest Gump. Not because he looked like Forrest Gump, but the thing that sticks out in my head when Forrest Gump was sprinting was that he was sprinting in clothes that he should not have been sprinting in. It was like dress clothes. And that's exactly what this guy was sprinting in. Jeans and some really nice white sneakers. He was sprinting across a football field, not like the long way, the sideways. I'll call it a soccer field. He was sprinting across a soccer field. So he sprints from one sideline to the other sideline. And then his break was walking across a patch of grass to the other soccer field and then doing the same exact thing. I'm thinking, this is great. He had sick arm angles, sick pump, and he's wearing jeans. And I'm thinking, what is going on? Is he trying to exercise the demons that he put into his body the night before? So that's one crazy thing I saw. The second crazy thing I saw was that there was a soccer game going on. And during the soccer game, during what I would call their halftime, I look over and these guys are watching film. Yeah, like a football coach would do. They're watching film. I look over. There's this giant tripod. It's like 20 feet in the air. A buddy of mine, he actually coaches soccer, and he said these things can follow the ball. And these guys are watching halftime film. I don't know what they're doing with it. Maybe hopefully they're looking to get better. But it made me realize that I have a love-hate relationship with the soccer people at this soccer field. I'm starting to love the group that was there today because they're watching film. But we'll get back to that a little later. Thing number three that I saw that was crazy at Owl Howl Field, this is all on the same morning, by the way, is I look to another soccer field. And this group of people, as I look over, I could see that their one team is lined up in front of the net like there's a penalty kick about to happen. Cool, no problem. Here's the weird stuff. There's about eight grown men lined up in front of the net. That's not the weird part. The weird part is that they're not playing with a real goal. They're playing with one of those smaller goals. So the eight grown men, they're wider than the actual goal itself and as tall as the actual goal itself. And they're standing about a foot in front of the goal, meaning that there's no air, there's no space. There's no space for this penalty kick for the ball to go. There's none. The only way you can get the ball in the net is if you kick it so hard that you knock someone into the actual goal itself. And I'm thinking, how crazy are these guys that they're willing to just take a ball off the face or worse? Just to not even, there's no point. There's no goal that's going to happen. So someone's literally just trying to kick a ball through you so that they can score. So I don't know. All of that stuff happened this morning, which it's all one place, but it's a great place. Staten Island is the best and the worst place. Owl Howl is the best and the worst place because it gives us so much material for these craziest things that I saw all week. So now, we've done with the six tips and tricks. We're done with 6 Minute Monday. Now let's get into what happened at this weekend's Tag Team Challenge. So here we go. We're going into the challenge. We got two teams. We got the Dudes and we got the Golden Company. The Dudes are currently 4-0. The Golden Company is 0-4. And I create a challenge this week that I was accused of by the one and only James Yuski of building to favor one of the teams. And obviously it's not his team. He thinks that I am trying to favor the Golden Company. Now, the Golden Company, just like in Game of Thrones, they usually have a lot of people. That was one of their things. Golden Company can, they can arm a lot of people. They have a lot of mercenaries in their crew. So the other team, the dudes, they name themselves the dudes because they normally don't have very good attendance, but the people that show up are pretty good. And they came up with the saying that was dudes over attendance, dudes over attendance, dudes over attendance, to the point they made their name the dudes. So I made up a challenge that Yusuke believes I made up just so I can screw over the team that had less people. And maybe it sounds that way. I'll explain the challenge again, but there are two teams of people. Each one of those teams is going to have one member go head-to-head against another member of the other team, performing a farmer's walk hold with 140 pounds. Whoever can hold that weight the longest wins. The team that has the most wins wins the day. And if the other team has more people than the other people, they get an automatic win. So if your team has 10 people and my team has 8, I automatically get 2 wins because 2 of my people can't go. So Yusuke is saying to me, Coach, you made this to favor the Golden Company. You are like Vince McMahon when he was trying to screw over Triple H out of a title, and he invented something called the Corporation. And he starts calling the other team the Corporation. So he acts as if I'm the bad guy in this scenario. So how did I make this even more interesting? I made it more interesting by having each team pick up a deck of these big, I don't know, 1 foot by 1 foot playing cards that have pictures of a blue, I don't know, a blue porcupine, a red heron, I don't know. But each team has the same sets of cards. So if I pick up a blue porcupine, I go against the guy on the other team who also picked up a blue porcupine. But if I picked up a red heron and the other team doesn't have a red heron because they don't have enough guys, I get an automatic win. So no one's even deciding who they're going against. The cards are deciding who they're going against. So once again, Yusuke says, Coach, you're just making up anything you possibly can to give that other team a chance. But as fate would have it, as the advanced training gods would have it, we show up on game day and the Golden Company has 3 guys that show up in attendance. And the dudes, they got 7. So if you are even a zygote level mathematician, you would understand that this is, they lost. They lost. There's no way that the Golden Company can win because they only have 3 guys. The dudes have 7, and they're going to get 4 automatic wins. And 4 automatic wins beats 3 wins. But, being the Vince McMahon that I am, being the guy that is apparently setting up this corporation that I am, I make a new rule. I say that the Golden Company is allowed to have one of their guys go twice. And that would give them the shot, if they ran the table to get 4 wins and win the day. Now, I didn't do this because I'm a nice guy. And I didn't do this just to screw with Uski. I did this because I believe I am a fair person. Now, one of the guys from the Golden Company, I'm not going to mention his name, but he was en route to the training session and got in a car accident right outside the training session, I don't know, a minute before the training session started. So he would have been their 4th guy. So through no fault, I'm not going to say who it was or what the accident was about. The guy's fine. He's fine. We love him. And he would have been a top contender in this event. But because he wasn't able to participate, I said to the Golden Company, one of your guys can go twice. And honestly, it's not even that great of an advantage because after you go once, you're going to be shot. And now you're going to go again fatigued. So here we go. Let's talk about how it goes. So in the very first round, we have Joe Derradita. Let me just go back here. Joe Derradita from the Golden Company is going to be the guy that was selected to go twice. There's 3 guys there. There's Derradita, there's Armado, there's Colombo. Derradita is the guy that's going to go twice. So Derradita goes first. He goes against Fred Carpentieri, the 2023 Tough Man Champ. And the winner is Fred Carpentieri. So right out of the gate, it's over. Fred beats Derradita. Now there is mathematically no chance for the Golden Company to win. They're going to be 0-5. The dudes are 5-0. But we compete here. Win, lose, or draw, we compete. So we still go. And next up is Galley versus Armado. And the Golden Company, they need a win. They need to save face. They need something. They need even a little win within a win. So Galley is from the dudes. Armado's from the Golden Company. And Galley wins. So now 2 guys up, 2 guys down. Next up, in his second tour of duty, Joe Derradita, he goes against Nick Carroll. They need a win. These guys need to win something. They can't get a clean sweep. And the winner is Nick Carroll. So Joe Derradita, who is probably the right guy to pick to do this twice because he's been in Tough Men. He's strong as hell. He's using his left hand the second time. Not to say that Carroll wouldn't have beat him with his right hand. I don't know. But either way, he's shot from the first time doing it. His core was tired from doing it. But now Derradeen is lost for the second time. So now it's three losses. Three losses. Carroll wins over Derradeen. Carpenteri wins over Derradeen. And Galli wins over Armato. And now it's looking bad. Like, it's not, they already lost, but it's looking like this is like adding insult to injury. This is like doubling down on it. So the next guys that could pull their cards to go are Sarno versus Colombo. And Colombo is a new guy in the group. And I love Colombo because he has no fear. He's still learning this stuff, but he acts like he's been there for 100 years. He doesn't care if he loses. He doesn't care if he gets wiped out. So he's going to go against Sarno. And Sarno, when it comes to grip and a lot of things, Sarno is he's a man amongst men. He's a leader of leaders. He's a killer in these farmer's walk holds. He's got these giant hands. He's all strong as all hell. But Sarno is also a coach. And Sarno is also a motivator. And Sarno, you know, he leads other leaders. So while they are going, Sarno starts talking to and encouraging Colombo. If one didn't know Sarno better, they'd say he was, you know, mocking him or like making a joke out of it, but he wasn't. Sarno was trying to extract from Colombo every ounce of talent and energy that he had. And before they went, I said to Colombo, David beat Goliath. David beat Goliath, so anything is possible here. You have no shot, but David beat Goliath. So we're going. We're at about 20 seconds, and Colombo's got veins popping out of his neck. 30 seconds, veins popping out of his neck. Forearms getting all jacked up. Sarno's talking him up. We get to 45 seconds. This is about the time that some guys have lost already. No one's hit 45 seconds that's lost so far. And Joe Sarno's saying to him, come on, man. I'll drop it right now. You better beat me. Beat me. I'll drop it right now. Now we get to 50 seconds. Sarno said, you get to a minute, I'll drop it. Now I'm holding the watch. I'm not telling anybody the time. I can see that Colombo's giving it everything he's got. And about this time now, everybody there starts cheering for Colombo. Not cheering against Sarno, but they're cheering for Colombo to keep pushing himself to the absolute limit. Colombo, he's looking at me, waiting for me to tell him when it's a minute. He's dying for me to tell him when it's a minute. He gives it everything he's got, and he drops it. It's 1 minute. 3 seconds. So Colombo, that is sick effort. Sarno, advanced training guys cheering him on. Sick, sick, sick motivation. And that's what this thing is about. That's what this is about. It's not about me being the corporation guy. It's not about the wins and losses. It's about each guy there pulling every ounce of potential they have out of themselves because they're going to need it when they leave that field. We try and do it before the session, during the session, after the session. And for a guy like Colombo, he really needs it because he's starting the Fire Academy next week. So he's going to need it. And he was a little nervous about it. I don't know how the instructors are going to treat me. I don't know what it's going to be like. Colombo, you're ready, man. If you can go through this stuff, if you've been through football camp, you are ready. So that is the Tag Team Challenge. Now, for the fifth week in a row, the Golden Company loses. And as per the rules, the Golden Company gets to pick the dudes who won get to pick two people from the Golden Company to go head-to-head. This week, it's easy, because Derradeen, he's eliminated. He's already lost twice. He's not allowed in head-to-heads. There's only Colombo. There's only Armato. So they pick those two guys by default to go head-to-head. The challenge is, we're going to add 10 more pounds to that farmer's walk, so now it's 150 pounds. They have to slide, do a slider 20 yards, pick up that farmer's walk, carry it back. That's the challenge. Wait, that wasn't supposed to be the challenge. It was not supposed to be the challenge, but I made that the challenge because back to my love-hate relationship with soccer, there were soccer guys, 22 of them, standing on a field about to start a game on this very field that we were working out on. Now, there were two other completely and totally empty fields there, but no, they were on our field. They were on the one field that we were using. Why? My guess is they had a permit. I think they have a permit. These actually seem like really decent guys. They seem like good guys. They weren't yelling at us to get up the field. They seem appreciative of what we're doing, so it's not against them. I think there's just permits that they have to use. But anyway, it just bothers me because there's so many fields, and it's like, why do they have to play on that field? Could the permit allow them to move somewhere else? I don't know. Because even when we left, there was no one else playing soccer anywhere, but they were playing on the field that we had. So to save time and to save space, I modified the challenge to this. That other challenge that I had is still in my back pocket, and it's definitely sicker than the one that we did. But anyway, so I ask Cortese, the captain of the dudes, who do you want to go first? He is extremely smart. I cannot get over how smart this guy is. He's a master strategist, and it may seem like a simple thing, but he said, I want Colombo to go first. Because today was a cube challenge. That means I have a little cube in my bag. After we go, the winner whips out the cube. They roll it on the ground. And if it comes up with a C on top, that means they get to challenge anybody they want. So he thinks that Armato is going to beat Colombo. Colombo went last in the head-to-heads during the tag team. Colombo is relatively new to the group, and maybe he's fatigued. And he's probably going to lose to Armato. And if Armato wins and he rolls that C, he's going to challenge someone from Cortese's team. But now hopefully Armato will be fatigued. So brilliant move by Cortese. So Colombo goes first. He knocks it out in 33 seconds. It was a 20-yard slider to a 20-yard farmer's walk. Armato goes second, and he knocks it out in 23.3. So Colombo gets his first loss, but he also gets his first point. I think it's the first point Colombo's had in a challenge. I think he's never been in a head-to-head challenge. This might have been his first one. Pretty sure of it. And Armato gets his second win. He's now 2-1. He has 7 points. So Armato, with his win, he moves from the 10th ranked seed to the 7th seed. 10th ranked seed to the 7th seed. So he's moving up, but his team is moving down. And his team is pretty soon going to have nobody left available for head-to-heads because they keep losing and losing and losing. Anyway, so here we go. So now, challenge is over. Armado's got his second win. Colombo's got his first loss. And pretty soon, we're going to run out of guys to do these head-to-heads. So that is it, people. That is what happened in this week's Tag Team Challenge. Now, you may be asking yourself, what's going on in next week's Tag Team Challenge? The answer is, I'm not telling you. So every week, I'm not always going to tell you what's happening next week. But this week, I am not telling you. The corporation, whoever they are, I don't know who they are. I'm going to confide in the corporation, not the Golden Company, not the dudes, the corporation, this fictitious third party. I need to do a little bit more thinking before I delve into, before I reveal what this challenge is going to be. But Golden Company, you need to do something. All right, people, that is it. That is it for this week's 6-Minute Monday. Go attack your Monday. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Element. That's L-M-N-T. What's Element? Element is the product that came into my life at exactly the right moment. I've been training hard. I've been sweating like a maniac. But unfortunately, after my sessions, I could never kick that feeling of dehydration. It didn't matter how much water I drank. In fact, the more water I drank, the worse it got. My body was telling me, you need more. You need electrolytes. But I refused to go and buy some sugary sports drink and put that garbage into my body. Enter Element. What's Element? It's a tasty electrolyte drink mix. That's right, I said tasty. They have 7 different flavors. My personal favorite is mango chili. But most importantly, it's got no sugar. It's got no gluten. It's got no garbage. There's got no guilt. Take it. You'll feel better. You won't feel like a bum after you drink it. You won't feel any guilt after taking it. To get your Element today, go to drinklmnt.com/George Mahoney. Again, that's drinklmnt.com/George Mahoney. Get yours today.